You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Bareback Facts, and as always, I'm your host, Dallas Big D Duclo, and today I am bringing you cult history yet again. Today we're talking about Om Shinrikyo and the dreaded Shoko Ashara. If you're not familiar with this group, they really cut their teeth in the late 90s, early 2000s, and Shoko Ashara actually had a internationally televised, I believe, trial, which we're going to get into. This group was actually eventually branded a terrorist organization for a violent attack that they committed against their own people. And to this day, they remain a very grim reminder of how dangerous things can become when we allow certain dangerous worldviews to get a nice tight grip on the psyches of a group of people. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Before we get started, I want to remind everybody we do have a call-in number at 718-508-9883, and you guys can call in anytime. Now, let's dive right in. First off, we're going to start with Shoko Ashara himself, who's a very intriguing character, as many of these cult leaders tend to be. A running theme with them is that they tend to be very interesting. They also tend to have some very odd ideas to those of us outside of their group. Their ideologies tend to be rather on the extreme side. So without further ado, let's take a look at Shoko. So Shoko Ashara was born half blind on March 2nd, 1955 in Yoshishira, Japan. He was born as Chizoa Matsumoto, and he was born as one of seven children. His poor family made a meager living weaving tatami mats used as flooring material in traditional Japanese homes. Now, Ashara contracted infantile glaucoma at birth. This led to blindness in his left eye at an early age. He had only, therefore, had partial sight in his right eye. Now, after attending a school for the blind, Ashara graduated in 1977, but he failed to gain entry into a university. In 1978, he began studying traditional Chinese medicine and married a woman by the name of Tomoko Matsumoto. He soon turned his ambitions to peddling herbal medicines and in 1981 was convicted of practicing pharmacy without a license and was later fined. Time that Ashara began his religious quest, studying Chinese astrology and Taoism amongst his other systems of belief. Now, in 1987, Shoko Ashara experienced a spiritual awakening, and he founded his own organization, his own movement, known as Om Shinrikyo, which roughly translates to the religion of truth, a religion that blends Hindu and Buddhist spirituality with the teachings of the Bible revelations, as well as the writings of the 16th century Christian monk Nostradamus. Now, as you could probably no doubt have guessed, this is a very varied look at the world through many lenses, and this is what we would call a syncretism. This is a very syncretic form of belief. This takes a synthesis of multiple religions from around the world and combines them, predictions of the Christian monk Nostradamus, and weaves them into a very dangerous and deadly worldview that Shoko Ashara is going to hone and encourage his disciples to embrace wholeheartedly. Now, Om Shinrikyo teaches that the world is destined for destruction and that Shoko Ashara is the savior who will lead the spiritually pure to salvation. Now, at its peak in the 90s, Om Shinrikyo was estimated to have 10,000 members in Japan and thousands in other countries, particularly Russia. In the early 90s, Ashara attempted to have Aum Shinrikyo members elected to Japanese public office, but he failed in several elections. After that, the organization began forming political organizations to influence the Japanese government. Now, around this time, reports began to surface that the group had attempted to buy and manufacture materials for chemical weapons. Now, before we continue on this deadly path that we're going to experience at Shoko Ashara, let's dive a little bit further into Aum Shinrikyo as themselves. Let's take a look at them. This group would later split into multiple groups known as Aleph and Hikari no Wa in 2007, formally designated as a terrorist organization by several countries, including Russia, Canada, Kazakhstan, Japan, and the United States, although Japan is a little bit iffy on that now. Now, Japan's Public Security Examination Commission considers Aleph and Hikari no Wa to be branches of a dangerous religion, and it announced in January of 2015 that they would remain under surveillance for 3 more years. They ended their surveillance of Hikari no Wa in 2017, but they continue to this day to keep Aleph under watch. They continue to watch them very closely, and the approximate membership of Aleph today is around 2,000. So there's a large number of people in this organization. Now, it's a syncretic belief system that they practice that draws upon Ashara's idiosyncratic interpretations of elements of early Indian Buddhism and Tibetan Buddhism, as well as Hinduism, taking Shiva, the goddess of destruction, or god of destruction, however you wish to view Shiva, as the main image of worship, and incorporating millennialist ideas from the Christian Book of Revelation. What is millennialist ideas? What are millennialists? Today we refer to young people as millennials, but millennialism is far older than the lovely term we use today, and has been adapted out of millenarianism in many cases. But millenarianism is where the term comes from. So what is millenarianism? What does it mean? Millenarianism is the belief of by a religious sect, social or political group, or movement in a coming major transformation of society after which all things will be changed. Millenarianism exists in many cultures and religions. The term millenarianism and millennialism are sometimes used interchangeably, but this is also incorrect. Millennium is from the Latin term mille, which means 1,000, and annus, which means year. So millenarian is from the Latin millenarius, containing a thousand of anything, hence no annus, no two ends. But the application of an apocalyptic timetable to the establishment or changing of the world has happened in many cultures and regions and religions across the world and continues to this day, and it is not relegated to the sects of major world religions. Increasingly, in the study of apocalyptic new religious movements, millenarianism is used to refer to a more cataclysmic and destructive arrival of a utopian period as compared to millennialism, which is often used to denote a more peaceful arrival and is more closely associated with a 1,000-year utopia. So now you guys have a general idea of how those two terms are different from one another and why it's so important as they relate on Shinrikyo. Millenarianism suggests a very destructive end to the current state of affairs that leads to a utopian state of affairs. So a world in which all things are peaceable and everyone is equal. It's a world of uniformity and equality, but it comes at the cost of destruction of this world. So now you have a general idea of what the crux of Aum Shinrikyo and Shoko Ashara believe in. Now, the founder of this, as we mentioned, Shigeo Matsumoto, claimed that he sought to restore original Buddhism at the outset. Now, I didn't mention this before, but in 1992, Ashara published a foundational book declaring himself to be Christ, Japan's only fully enlightened master, as well as identifying himself as the Lamb of God. So this guy was really on a hell of a power trip. Purported mission was to take upon himself the sins of the world, and he claimed he could transfer spiritual power to his followers and ultimately take away their sins and bad deeds. While many discount Aum Shinrikyo's claims of Buddhist characteristics and his affiliations
and Shoko Ashara's affiliations with Buddhism. Scholars often refer to it as an offshoot of Japanese Buddhism, and this was how the movement generally was defined and saw itself. Ashara outlined a doomsday prophecy, which included a third world war instigated by the United States. According to an American psychiatrist and writer, Robert J. Lifton, Ashara described a final conflict culminating in a nuclear Armageddon, borrowing the term from the Book of Revelation, chapter 16, verse 16. And what is that lovely, lovely verse? And they assembled them at the place in Hebrew that is called Armageddon. He speaks of the last two verses from that. He says, these are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for a battle on the great day of the God. See, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and is clothed, not going about naked and exposed to shame. And they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, it is done. And then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and violent earthquakes, such as had not occurred since people were upon the earth, and so on and so forth. So I'm assuming you guys have a general understanding of the doomsday prophecies as laid out by the Book of Revelation. It's pretty much one of the most widely quoted religious, you know, parts of the Bible, if any, besides Leviticus. People love Leviticus. Don't know why. It's terrible. But humanity, according to Ashara, would end, except for the elite few who joined Aum. Now, Aum's mission was not to only spread the word of salvation, as Ashara saw it, but also to survive these end times together. Ashara predicted that Armageddon would occur in 1997. Also notes, it's also noted by scholars of this matter that in his lecture, Shoko Ashara referred to the United States as the beast from the Book of Revelation, predicting that it would eventually attack Japan. One writer, Arthur Goldwag, who was the author of a book on many conspiracies, secret societies, and you can check out his book if you're interested, Cults, Conspiracies, and Secret Societies, The Straight Scoop on Freemasons, The Illuminati, Skull and Bones, Black Helicopters, The New World Order, and many, many more. It's your typical book of, BS, for those of you that are interested in that sort of thing. Now, he characterizes Ashara as the one who saw dark conspiracies everywhere, promulgated by Jews, Freemasons, the Dutch, the British royal family, and the Japanese, and rival Japanese religions. Now, Aum Shinrikyo, according to the opinions of one Daniel A. Mitrau, another writer who's written on the matter, in his own work, Religious Terrorism in Japan, The Fatal Appeal of Aum Shinrikyo, he argues that Shinrikyo justified its violence through its own unique interpretation of Buddhist ideas and doctrines, such as the concepts of Mappo and Shono.
Aum claimed that bringing about the end of the world, they would restore Shono. Furthermore, Ashara interpreted the Tibetan Buddhist concept of Pawa in order to claim that by killing someone contrary to the group's aims, they were preventing them from accumulating bad karma and thus saving them. Now, the name I mentioned before is usually translated as the true religion. It's usually rendered in English as Aum, supreme truth, derives from the Sanskrit syllable Aum, used to represent the universe, followed by the Japanese Shinrikyo, roughly meaning the teaching of truth. In Japanese, it's written in a number of different words. Now, as I mentioned before, the organization would eventually change its name to ALEF. Now, before we proceed further, let's take a look at these terms Mappo and Shou. Now, Mappo refers to the age of Dharma decline, which is the degenerate third age of Buddhism, also known as the latter day of the law. There are three ages of Buddhism, and there are three divisions of time following Buddhist passing. So there's the former day of the law, known as the right age of the right Dharma. And it's the first 1,000 years or 500 years during which Buddha's disciples are able to uphold Buddha's teaching. This is Shobo. So this is the first, this is what Shoko Ashara claims he's going to restore. Then there's the middle of the law, known as the Age of Semblance Dharma, the second 1,000 years or 500 years, which only resembles the right Dharma. And then finally, the latter day of the law, known as the Degenerate Age, which is to last for 10,000 years, during which the Dharma declines. So the goal, by according to Shoko Ashara, is to get back to Shōen, this time in which things were great. Everybody was sticking to the true tenets. Now, Shoko Ashara founded this movement in his one-bedroom apartment in Tokyo's Shibuya Ward in the 1980s, starting off as a yoga and meditation class. Now, some people date that around 1984, others 1987. It's a little hazy, but it starts out known as Omu Shinsen no Kai, Aum Club of Gods and Hermits, and steadily grew in the following years. It gained the official status as a religious organization in 1989, and attracted a considerable number of graduates from Japan's elite universities, thus being dubbed a religion for the elite. So Shoko Ashara was no slouch by any stretch of the imagination in terms of who he was able to influence. Now, although Aum was considered controversial in Japan, it had yet to be associated with serious crimes at this time. It was during this period that Ashara became obsessed with biblical prophecies. Aum's public relations activities included publishing comics and animated cartoons that attempted to tie its religious ideas to popular anime and manga themes, including space missions, powerful weapons, world conspiracies, and a quest for ultimate truth. Fun stuff, guys. The fun stuff. You get your comic books. Religious comic books. There you go. Aum published several magazines, including Vajrayana, Saka, and Enjoy Happiness, adopting a somewhat missionary attitude. So at the beginning, they start out a little bit humble and a little bit under the radar, as these things tend to happen. This is how cults tend to start. Now, Isaac Asimov's Science Fiction Foundation trilogy was referenced depicting, as it does, an elite group of spiritually evolved scientists forced to undergo ground during an age of barbarism so as to prepare themselves for the moment when they will emerge to rebuild civilization. Now, Aum's publications used Christian and Buddhist ideas to impress what he considered to be the more shrewd and educated Japanese who were not attracted to boring, purely traditional sermons. In private, both Ashara and his top disciples reportedly continued their humble lifestyles, the only exception being the armored Mercedes-Benz gifted by a wealthy follower. Now, in rather rare footage, Ashara is seen on the street in front of a large clown doll resembling himself, smiling happily. Advertising and recruitment activities dubbed the Aum Salvation Plan, included claims of curing physical illnesses with health improvement techniques, realizing life goals by improving intelligence and positive thinking, and concentrating on what was important at the expense of leisure. This is to be accomplished by practicing ancient teachings accurately translated from the original Pali Sutras. Three were referred to as the threefold salvation. These efforts resulted in Aum becoming one of the fastest growing religious groups in Japanese history. So Aum Shinrikyu starts out very humble, and slowly but surely, at its outset, soon takes a very, very quick grip of people's minds. And it's not just the common people that are being drawn to Shoko Ashara and his groups. No, it's the exact opposite. The elites, the educated, the wealthy, they are being attracted to Aum Shinrikyo and Shoko Ashara. They are receptive to his message. He has found his niche early on, and it quickly turns this religion into the trendy and popular one that it becomes, and soon they become the fastest growing religious group, one of the fastest, I should say, in Japanese history. So in the heavily touted David E. Kaplan and Andrew Marshall cult At the End of the World, the terrifying story of the Aum Doomsday cult, from the subways of Tokyo to the nuclear arsenals of Russia, claim that its practices remain secret. Initiation rituals assert the authors of the book also involve the use of hallucinogens such as LSD. Religious practices often involve extremely ascetic practices claimed to be yoga. These included everything from renunciants being hung upside down to being given shock therapy. So they really take it to the limit. Now, before we continue on, I want to get a quick commercial break in here, guys, and then we're going to get into some of the incidents that lead up to the famous moment. But before we do that, I want to take this quick break. And we will get right back to it. We'll get to the famous moment of Aum Shinrikyu and the aftermath of one of the most horrific attacks in Japanese history. So before I send you on that break, I'd like to remind you all we have a proud new sponsor here, Totally Driven Entertainment. He's funny, he's wacky, and he's crazy. Check out ChrisFreelyPresents.com.
I'm Black Man, saving man's eye, one stereotype at a time.
To the Black Mobile. To the corner of Martin Luther King Street and Malcolm X Boulevard. Pronto.
Will Black Man make it to the crime on time? Or will he be on CPT? Stay tuned at ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our Wacky Stores page on Facebook.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Hope you enjoyed that quick commercial break gave me an opportunity to get a little bit of water in my system. Now, as I mentioned before, Aum Shinrikyo didn't start out particularly bold in their teachings. They did a little things first. They got the pamphlets. They recruited. And then after they started getting more and more influential members, they started to feel like they couldn't be stopped. And they quickly became one of the fastest growing religious groups in Japanese history. Now, I mentioned before that in the 90s, Ashara and his group became so popular it became such a large group and became so influential that they even attempted to have some of their members elected to Japanese office. Now, unfortunately for them, they didn't have quite the pull that they were hoping, but the fact that they had enough members to even can be considered for such a thing is a little bit disturbing considering what happened next. Now, the cult began attracting controversy in the late 80s with accusations of deception of recruits and of holding cult members against their will, forcing members to donate money. It murdered a cult member who had tried to leave in 1989, February of that year, and some lawyers and journalists and persons of culture continued to appeal of Aum's dangers while taking and continued to talk of the dangers of Aum while taking risks of their lives. But there were scholars who advocated that Aum is authentic. It's an organization of Vajrayana. Also, there were media that supported Aum's terrorism, such as TBS, Tokyo Broadcasting TV. It's rare when we see a group that is committing acts of terror against their own people, where their own people actually support them on television. But this was happening. In October of 1989, the group's negotiations with Tsutsumi Sakamoto, an anti-cult lawyer threatening a lawsuit against them, which could potentially bankrupt the group, failed. And in the same month, Sakamoto recorded an interview for a talk show on Japanese TV station TBS. The network then had the interview secretly shown to the group without notifying Sakamoto, intentionally breaking protection of sources. The group then pressured the station to cancel the broadcast. The following month, Sakamoto and his wife and child went missing from their home in Yokohama. The police were unable to resolve the case at the time, although some of his colleagues publicly voiced their suspicions of the group. It would not be until after the day of reckoning in 1995 that they were found to have been murdered and their bodies dumped by cult members. So already before the major incident we're going to be talking about in a little while, this group was slowly but surely becoming not only incredibly influential, but also incredibly feared by the public at large. Now, it's alleged by some that Aum was also connected with such activities as extortion and intimidation. The group commonly took patients into hospitals and then forced them to pay exorbitant medical bills. They also were known for intimidating people to give them money. Cold is known to have considered assassinations of several individuals critical of the cult, such as the heads of Buddhist sects Soko Gakkai and the Institute for Research in Human Happiness. After one cartoonist, Yoshinora Kobayashi, began satirizing the cult, he was included on Aum's assassination list and attempted to assassinate Kobayashi in 1993. At the end of 1993, the cult started secretly manufacturing the nerve agent sarin and later VX gas. They also attempted to manufacture 1,000 automatic rifles, but only managed to make one. Aum tested its sarin on sheep at Bazuan Station, a remote pastoral property in Western Australia, killing 29 sheep. Both sarin and VX were then used in several assassinations and attempts over 1994 to the year 1995.
In December of 1994 and January of 1995, Masami Tsuchiya of Aum Shinrikyo synthesized 100 to 200 grams of VX, which was used to attack three people. Two people were injured, and a 28-year-old man died who is believed to have been the first fully documented victim of VX. The VX victim, whom Shoko Ishara had suspected was a spy, was attacked at 7 a.m. on December 12, 1994, on the street in Osaka by Tomomitsu Nimi and another Aum member, who sprinkled the nerve agent on his neck. He chased them for about 100 yards before collapsing and dying 10 days later, without coming out of a deep coma. Doctors in the hospital suspected at the time that he had been poisoned with an organophosphate pesticide, but could not really pin down what was causing him to die. But the cause of death was eventually pinned down after cult members arrested for the incident confessed to the killing. Now, methylphosphonic acid, and disopropyl ethylamine were later found in the body of the victim. Unlike the cases for sarin, Matsumoto incident, and the sarin gas attack, which we're going to get to shortly, VX was not used for mass murder. Now, on the night of June 27, 1994, the cult carried out a chemical weapons attack against civilians when they released sarin in the central Japanese city of Matsumoto, Nagano. With the help of a converted refrigerator truck, members of the cult released a cloud of sarin which floated near the homes of judges who were overseeing a lawsuit concerning a real estate dispute. The Matsumoto incident killed 8 and harmed 500 more people. Police investigations focused only on an innocent local resident, Yoshiyuki Konu, and failed to implicate the cult at the time. It was only after the Tokyo incident that Aum Shinrikyo was discovered to be behind this attack, and that was only after elicited confessions. In February of 1995, several cult members would kidnap Kiyoshi Kariya, a 69-year-old brother of a member who had escaped from a Tokyo street, and took him to a compound in Kamakushiki near Mount Fuji, where he would be killed. His corpse would be destroyed in a microwave-powered incinerator and the remnants disposed of in Lake Kawaguchi. Now, before Kariya was abducted, he had been receiving threatening phone calls demanding to know the whereabouts of his sister, and he had left a note saying, "If I disappear, I was abducted by Aum Shinrikyo." So this is the kind of fear that they had instilled in people before their massive terrorist attack. It was chilling to note that this guy predicted what was going to happen to him. He knew that that because of his relation to his sister and her fleeing this cult, he knew that he was a marked man. And he was proven correct. Now, on the morning of March 20th, 1995, members of Aum Shinrikyo, binary chemical weapon, chemically similar to a sarin nerve gas agent. This was a coordinated attack on 5 trains in the Tokyo subway system, killing 13 commuters and seriously injuring 54 people and infecting another 980 people. Some estimates claim that as many as 6,000 people were injured by the sarin agent, and it's difficult to obtain exact numbers since many victims are reluctant to come forward. Prosecutors allege that Ishara was tipped off about planned police raids on cult facilities by an insider and ordered an attack in central Tokyo to divert police attention away from the group. The attack evidently backfired. Police conducted huge simultaneous raids on cult compounds across the country. Over the next week, the full scale of Aum's activities was revealed for the very first time. At the cult's headquarters in Kamakushiki, on the foot of Mount Fuji, police found explosives, chemical weapons, and a Russian Mil-M-17 military helicopter. While the finding of biological warfare agents such as anthrax and Ebola cultures was reported, those claims now appear to have been widely exaggerated. There were stockpiles of chemicals that could be used for producing enough sarin to kill, however,
4 million people. So despite the fact that they didn't have, you know, access to anthrax and Ebola and loads of guns, they did have enough chemicals to kill another 4 million people. Pardon me. Police also found laboratories to manufacture drugs such as LSD, methamphetamine, and a crude form of truth serum, a safe containing millions of U.S. dollars in cash and gold and cells, many still containing prisoners. And during the raids, Aum issued statements claiming that the chemicals were for fertilizers. And over the next 6 weeks, over 150 cult members were arrested for a variety of offenses. The media was stationed outside Aum's Tokyo headquarters on Komozawa Dori in Aoyama for months after the attack and arrests waiting for action and to get images of the cult's other members. On the 30th of March, 1995, Takashi Kunimatsu, chief of the National Police Agency, was shot four times near his house in Tokyo and was seriously wounded. While many suspected Aum's involvement in the shooting, the Sankai Shimbun reported that Hiroshi Nakamura is suspected of the crime, but nobody has been charged. On the 20th of April in 1995, Hideo Murai, the head of Aum's Ministry of Science, was stabbed to death outside this cult's Tokyo headquarters amidst a crowd of about 100 reporters in front of the cameras. The man responsible, a Korean member of Yamaguchi Gumi, was arrested and eventually convicted of the murder. His motives remain unknown. And if you're not sure who Yamaguchi Gumi was, it's a Yakuza organization and is the sixth largest one. So whatever this guy did, he really pissed off the wrong people. So in any case, I mean, when did the Yakuza members really need a reason to kill somebody? But I digress. On the evening of May 5th, a burning paper bag was discovered in a toilet in Tokyo's busy Shinjuku station. Pardon me, guys. It's a little difficult Japanese, you know. Upon examination, it was revealed that it was a hydrogen cyanide device, which had it not been extinguished in time, would have released enough gas into the ventilation system to potentially kill 10,000 people. On the 4th of July, several undetonated cyanide devices were found at other locations in the Tokyo subway. During this time, numerous cult members were arrested for various offenses, but arrests of the most senior members on the charge of the subway gassing had not yet taken place. In June, an individual related to Aum launched a copycat attack by hijacking All Nippon Airways Flight 857, a Boeing 747 bound for Hakodate from Tokyo. The attacker claimed to be an Aum member in possession of sarin and plastic explosives, but these claims ultimately were found to be false. Nonetheless, it again put Aum in the spotlight. Shoko Ishihara was finally found hiding within a wall of a cult building known as the Sixth Seishon in the Kamakushiki complex on the 16th of May in 1995 and was arrested. On the same day, the cult mailed a parcel bomb to the office of Yukio Aoshima, the governor of Tokyo, blowing off the fingers of his secretary's hand. Ishihara was initially charged with 23 counts of murder and 16 other offenses. The trial, dubbed the Trial of the Century by the press, ruled Ishihara guilty of masterminding the attack and sentenced him to death. The indictment was appealed unsuccessfully, and a number of senior members accused of participation, such as Masami Tsuchiya, also received death sentences. The reasons why a small circle of mostly senior Aum members committed atrocities and the extent of personal involvement by Ishihara remain unclear today, although several theories have attempted to explain these events. In response to the prosecution's charge that Ishihara ordered the subway attacks to distract authorities, the defense maintained that Ishihara was not aware of events, pointing to his deteriorating health. Now, shortly after his arrest, Ishihara abandoned his post as the organization's leader, and since then has remained maintained silence, refusing to communicate even with lawyers and family members. On June 21st of 1995, Ishihara acknowledged that in January 1994, he ordered the killing of a sect member named Kotara Uchida, a pharmacist at an Alm hospital. Uchida attempted to escape from a sex compound, was held down, and later strangled to death by another Alm member who allegedly was told that he too would be killed if he did not kill Uchida. On the 10th of October 1995, Aum Shinrikyo was ordered to be stripped of its official status as a religious legal entity and was declared bankrupt in 1996, earlier that year. However, the group continues to operate under the constitutional guarantee of freedom of religion, funded by a successful computer business and donations, as well as under the strictest of surveillance. Attempts to ban the group altogether under the 1952 Subversive Activities Prevention Law were rejected by the Public Security Examination Commission in January of 1997. The group underwent a number of transformations in the aftermath of Ashara's arrest and trial. At the time, Ashara's two preteen sons officially replaced him as guru. It regrouped under the new name Aleph in February of 2000 and announced it had changed its doctrine. Religious texts related to controversial Vajrayana Buddhist doctrines and the Bible were removed, and the group apologized to the victims of the sarin gas attack and established a special compensation fund. Provocative publications and activities that alarm society are no longer published. Fumihiro Jojo, one of the few senior leaders of the group under Ashara who did not face serious charges, became the official head of the organization in 1999. Koki Ishii, a legislator who formed an anti-Alm committee in the National Diet in 1999, was murdered in 2002. In August of 2003, a woman believed to be an ex-Alm Shinrikyo member took refuge in North Korea via China. For over 15 years, only three fugitives were being actively sought. At 11:50 on December 31st, 2011, Makoto Hirata surrendered himself to the police and was arrested on suspicion of being involved in the 1995 abduction of Kiyoshi Kiyota, a non-member who had died during an Alm kidnapping and interrogation. On the 3rd of June, 2012, police captured Naoko Kikuchi, the second fugitive acting on a tip from local residents. Acting on information from the capture of Kikuchi, including recent photographs showing a modified appearance, their last remaining fugitive, Katsuya Takahashi, was captured on the 15th of June in 2012. He is said to have been the driver in the Tokyo gas attack and was caught in Tokyo, having been on the run for 17 years. As of 2018, members of Shinrikyo remain on death row. The condemned members include Shoko Ishara. They include Shoko Ishara himself, Yasuo Hayashi, one of the perpetrators of the subway attack, Kenichi Hirosa, another, Toru Toyota, Masada Yokoyama, Tomomitsu Nimi, Sechi Endo, the head scientist of Aum Shinrikyo, Yoshihiro Inoue, Masami Tsugisa, Kyoto Kiyohide Hayakawa, and, Tomomasa Nakagawa, Kazuki Akazaki, and Satoru Hashimoto. All of these guys were involved in very violent crimes. So the first four, obviously Shoko Ishara was the leader, and was believed to have the mastermind behind the whole organization, as well as all their attacks. But Hayashi, Hirosa, and Toyota were considered to be the ones who carried out the subway attack, along with Masada Yokoyama. And the rest of these individuals either participated in the Tokyo attack or did so indirectly. Others ended up getting captured for murders, and the last two individuals on the list were arrested and tried for the murder of the Sakamoto family. According to a June 2005 report by the National Police Agency, Aleph had approximately between 650 to 2,000 members, of whom 650 lived communally in compounds. The group operated 26 facilities in 17 prefectures and about 120 residential facilities. An article in the Manichi Shimbun newspaper on September 11, 2012, showed that the Japanese public still distrusts Aleph, and compounds are usually surrounded by protest banners from local residents. There have been numerous cases where authorities have refused to accept resident registration for cult members when it is discovered that Aleph had set up a facility within their jurisdiction. This effectively denies cult members social benefits such as health insurance. Five cases have been taken to court by cult members who won every single time. Local communities also try to drive the cult away by preventing cultists from finding jobs or keeping cult children out of schools. Right-wing groups frequently conduct marches near apartments rented by ALM followers by blaring extremely loud music through loudspeakers installed on minivans. The group, since January of 2012, was placed under strict surveillance for a period of 3 years under the anti-ALM law. This group was so influential and so tremendously impactful. They had a law named after them in which they were required to submit a list of all members and details of assets to the authorities. In January of 2003, Japan's Public Security Intelligence Agency received permission to extend the surveillance for another 3 years as they found evidence which suggests that the group still revered Ashiya. According to the religious news blog report issued in April of 2004, the authorities still considered the group a threat to society. By January of 2006, the Public Security Intelligence Agency was able to extend the surveillance for yet another 3 years, despite the doctrinal changes and banning of Vajrayana texts. The PSIA advocates increased surveillance. It periodically expresses concerns that the Vajrayana texts remain in use and that danger remains while Ashiya remains leader. Aleph leaders carefully insert passages rejecting those texts into almost everything they say or write, including karaoke songs, to publicly distance Aleph from Vajrayana. On the 15th of September in 2006, Shoko Ashiya lost his final appeal against the death penalty. The following day, Japanese police raided the offices of Aleph in order to prevent any illegal activities by cult members in response to the confirmation of Ashiya's death sentence. 13 cult members were eventually sentenced to death, and they conducted raidings in the wake of all of these. On March 8, 2007, Fumihiro Juryo, former ALM Shinrikyo spokesman and head of ALM's Moscow operation, formally announced a long-expected split. His group, called Hikari Nowa, the Circle of Light, claims to be committed to uniting science and religion and creating the new science of the human mind, having previously aimed to move the group away from its criminal history and towards its spiritual roots. In 2011, the Public Security Intelligence Agency stated that ALM had lost about 1,500 members. And in 2011, in July of the same year, the cult reported its membership as low as 1,030. The group was reportedly active in trying to recruit new members via social media and proselytizing on college campuses. Gosh, I can't talk today, guys. I apologize. Japan's Public Security Examination Commission announced in January of 2015 that Aum Shinrikyo's two spinoffs would remain under surveillance for 3 more years, starting the 1st of February 2015. The Japan Times reports that good looks and commitment to a cause demonstrated by Aleph inspire a new generation of admirers. Dissatisfaction with society and low degrees of success in life make them identify with the cult and adore the cultists as if they were pop idols. And this comes in an article that was actually published not too long ago. It was published in 2014, March 20th, 2014 to be exact, with the Japan Times. So a little disturbing after everything this group's been associated with. They're still admired by some people. Now, on the 5th of April, 2016, the Investigative Committee of Russia announced it opened a criminal case against Alms Shinrikyo followers and that its investigators, along with the Federal Security Service, forces were conducting raids in Moscow and St. Petersburg to find them and confiscate literature, religious items, and electronic information. On September 20th of 2016, the government banned Alms Shinrikyo from the country, declaring it a terrorist organization. In 2017, November of that year, Japanese police raided five offices of the left in an investigation of the group's recruiting practices after a woman paid tens of thousands of yen for study sessions. To this day, this group remains an incredibly controversial organization. A left to this day and Hikari no Wa continue to practice around the world and continue to spread their doctrine. Whether or not they are truly still connected to Silk Oisara remains to be seen, and whether or not they have devious ends to bring to us, we still do not know. But what we do know is that for a time, Alms Shinrikyo, under the guidance and tutelage of Silk Oisara, was one of the bloodiest and most dangerous cults ever to grace the shores of our world. They sought to not only spread their message of the end of the world, but to bring about the end times themselves. It was the firm belief of Silk Oisara and his followers, the Alms Shinrikyo, that only by bringing about the end of all that we know today could mankind be enlightened. The world we know should perish in flames, so like the phoenix, we could rise to enlightenment. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed today's show. We covered everything. Before we go, I'm going to give you guys some... I know I threw out some sources for you guys to check out, and I recommend you check them out. But I'm going to give you guys a couple of goodies to go look at. So you're going to want to take a look at Robert J. Lifton's Destroying the World to Save It, Alms Shinrikyo, Apocalyptic Violence, and the New Global Terrorism. You're also going to want to look at Alms Shinrikyo, Japan's Unholy Sect by Rei Kimura. These two are tremendously well done. You can also take a look at Alms Shinrikyo and Japanese Youth by Daniel Alfred. These will give you tremendous insight into the Alms Shinrikyo and what they believed in. But this organization is incredibly controversial. They've been around for quite some time now, and to this day, despite the fact that they claim that they have split away from their original doctrine, they're still under surveillance and will likely be under surveillance no matter what they change their name to. Now, Hikari no Wa, important to note, is no longer really under surveillance anymore, but Aleph remains under surveillance to this day. They are raided off and on. They're often the first people that are looked at for terrorist attacks in areas in which they are at. They're also the first often targeted by police whenever violent crimes are committed, simply because of their history. And one might argue that Alms Shinrikyo earned the notoriety. Well, that's all I have for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you learned a lot. This has been another presentation of Bareback Facts. And, guys, I will see you all next week with my guest. Until then, enjoy the rest of your week, guys.